Hey everybody, Lincoln Oliphant here. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode of the Dreamcast. As always, Austin and I had a blast recording it. It's always so fun to talk about our dreams and the experiences that come out of them. So without further ado, on to the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Dreamcast, where we discuss dreams, what they mean, and everything in between. I am your host, Lincoln Oliphant, and joining me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Austin. Say hi, Austin.
How's it going?
It's going good. I know we already kind of talked about this before we started, but I worked a 17-hour day yesterday, so if I seem a little bit tired in this podcast, that's my excuse for this time around.
Hey, that's all right. As long as the show's a success, that's the important thing.
That's what we're hoping. It opens next weekend, so we'll see how it goes down. But anywho, we are a little bit short on time. We both have things happening all day, but we wanted to bring you guys another episode, so we're going to kind of just hop straight in and get it going. Austin, do you want to start with your dream this time around?
Sure. Yeah, I had kind of a weird dream. So there are some elements which I think came from real life, but I can get into those afterwards. So
awesome.
When I think this was Thursday night. Yeah, I think this was a dream I had pretty recently. So I dreamt that I was in the United States, but I was hanging out with some friends from Brazil who, like, I've never actually met in real life. They're just like dream people, I guess. And they invited me over and they're like, hey, let's make you some like churrasco, which is like a Brazilian barbecue. And I was like, okay. So they're bringing me all this like delicious meat and I'm enjoying myself. And then all of a sudden it's like, they whisked me away and they're like, okay, we like have to leave. We're on the run. And I'm like, okay. And so we go on the run and we hop on this plane. It's probably like it's not like a 4-seater plane. It's like a bit bigger, but maybe like not much bigger, maybe like a 10 person plane, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like old timey with propellers in the front or whatever. And anyways, so nice. We're on this plane and we're zooming around in the air and we're not flying, like we're still kind of low to the ground, but we're in the air and we're flying above like a channel or a river, some kind of body of water. And then behind us, there's like this boat and they're like, that's who's chasing us. Like those people in the boat. And in my waking mind, I'm like, well, you just go higher and fly further away. Like it's not that hard. Yeah, for some reason in the dream, the like people in the boat were like gaining on us and they were like getting really close. And so we're doing all these like flips and crazy maneuvers in this plane. And then as we're going along, eventually we find this place to land and we get out and the Brazilian people are like, okay, now we need to climb to the top of this hill. And we climbed to the top of this hill and then someone I know like from my childhood who I haven't seen in like years and years and years, he's waiting there with like this truck to take us somewhere else. So he takes us in this truck and we're going up into like this mansion and he drives like down the mountain to get us to this mansion. And the whole time I'm just worried, like for some reason in the dream, I'm like worried about all these things that don't make any sense. Like, I'm worried that the people in the boat are chasing us. I'm worried that like the plane is going to cost a lot of money. I'm also worried that like my Brazilian friends made me this like delicious barbecue thing and I'm not able to like make anything good for them. I was like, oh my, my cooking skills aren't good enough. My money isn't enough. Like
as you're on the run,
I'm also like not fast enough because I don't exercise. I can't like outrun these people that are chasing us. So just an overwhelming sense of inadequacy, basically. And then we get to this. Yeah. So we're in this truck and I'm like, man, I haven't seen this guy in years. Like, and I saw he had like a Subway hat on. And I was like, oh, maybe he likes Subway. So I like reached into my wallet and I pulled out like a Subway gift card to give to him. And I'm like, hopefully this is enough. And he's like, thank you. Like, I'll take whatever you have. So we get to the mansion and me and my Brazilian friends are like walking up into the mansion and we walk through these giant doors. And there's like a pool and like chandelier and like crystal stuff. And then like someone's coming down to meet us and like the sun's shining and it's getting really bright. And it felt like some big thing is about to be revealed. And then I woke up.
Oh, that's a bummer. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. So it was really stupid, which like, I wonder how much of that feeling is like just given to you after you wake up and it's just like infused into your memory of the dream, and then how much of it actually, because it's too coincidental for us to like have a feeling of something big being revealed to us and then like not achieving it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I wonder how much of it is actually like in the dream itself, and then how much of it is like you remembering things differently perhaps than they happened. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Like as you're waking up, you're like, yeah, oh, it was going to be awesome.
Cause in the dream, it seems like the next big thing is always just like 1 second away or like one turn around the corner. Uh-huh. And you're so close to achieving it, but then you never do. And it's like, well, maybe there's a reason you don't, like,
mm-hmm. although so like when you wake up, you're just left with that feeling.
Yeah. Although there has been times where we have, like we've both talked about like wanting to fly on our dream and then eventually being able to, or like kind of breaking some sort of barrier within the dream, but it's pretty rare that that happens, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd agree. But no, that dream's crazy. It's like, I don't know, it almost made me think about like anxiety dreams where like something's chasing you or you're trying to get somewhere. And then you mentioned like all those seemingly irrelevant things were like all playing in your head as you were being chased. Or like all the worries. So I don't know, is that kind of one of the reasons you're thinking of for what it could have been, is like you were feeling anxious or like stressed about something that was coming up, or am I just completely the dark?
No, it could be. I took this very big test. But the weird thing is like I already took it, so it could just be residual anxiety from it. But yeah, it's called the PE exam. It's like your professional engineering license. So I won't know my results for like another 8 to 10 weeks, which is pretty awesome. So
that's,
yeah, like, and I don't know,
engineering podcast, but why does it take that long?
I don't know. They get together and they sit around and they're like, oh, well, this question maybe didn't fulfill what we intended it to do, so let's throw it out, or, you know, this and that. And I don't know. I studied a ton. I could see it going either way. I mean, I can always retake it, but I'd rather not to. It's like expensive. So yeah. I was probably just stressed about that. Also, I did go to like,
maybe that's a stress.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did go to like a Brazilian barbecue a couple weeks ago with some friends. So that was probably the meat part of it. Like the first 15 minutes of my dream was like, or so it felt, right? Time is kind of weird in the dream. But yeah, I'd say like the first 15 minutes was just me eating like various different cured and barbecued meats, which was amazing. But yeah,
that sounds so good. It starts out, dude, that's the part that I would have been upset about too, is like as you're driving or running away in the plane, it's like, no, I should have brought the meat with me.
Yeah, I also saw Dune this week, which maybe was part of like the action-y parts of the dream, like the plane maneuvers and stuff, even though their vehicles don't look anything like our planes, just I don't know. Mm-hmm. That could have been part of it. Yeah, there's a lot of little things that probably contributed to it, like the test. Yeah, my Brazilian restaurant with my friends who I do actually know. And then Dune. Well, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
That's another weird aspect, is like you actually know people from Brazil, but your dream, yeah. Like you said, none of the people in the dream were like real people.
Right. Right. So yeah, that was
kind of
weird.
Interesting that it like replaced them, because I don't know if your subconscious was like they're criminals or like gave them a reason, because they were being chased and then you were just kind of with them, right?
Yeah, yeah. They like took me away with them and for some reason I had to go. Yeah, in fact, the only person I did know in the dream, like I didn't know the pilot, I didn't know any of the people on the plane. I just knew this guy in this truck who I haven't seen in a long time named Scott. And I was like, okay.
You're like, what's up, Scott?
Yeah. No, yeah, I hadn't seen him in like over 10 years probably. So I was like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm. Because I'm just thinking like maybe your subconscious didn't want to make like the people from Brazil criminals, because it was a religious experience while you were there. You were serving a mission. So like maybe your brain was just like, you know, even though it's a dream, like it's too much, I guess, cognitive dissonance to make those like.
Yeah. Well, and I felt like criminal. We were all innocent. I don't know why people were chasing us. And it was very like, I never got to see the people chasing us. They were just in the boat, or they were like in this like fog. Like I never got to see them, you know?
Huh. That's really interesting too. Where like, it's like, not like they were faceless, but like, you know, they were anonymous or like unnamed. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty weird. So. But it was very vivid and very visual. I haven't had a dream quite so like colorful and vivid in a while. So I thought I'd share that one.
Yeah. And it was very narrative. And I feel like both of our dreams sometimes take a, I don't know the difference.
Like an abstract turn.
Yeah, that's the word. Again, 17 hours at work. My brain's fried. But yeah, our dreams sometimes take a very abstract approach, but this was very like point A to point B to point C. So.
Yeah, it definitely made the dreaming more like exciting. And it, yeah, it was the kind of dream action. Like you don't want to wake up from, but you do. So,
what are you gonna do about it?
but yeah, how was awesome. How was your dream life this past few weeks?
Past few weeks, it's been pretty good. I haven't been as vivid of dreams recently. I've been having a lot of like fragmented dreams where I wake up and. Even like as I'm trying to write it down, I can only remember bits and pieces. So I think we should do an episode like that in the future, where we just talk about like the short little moments that we have from dreams.
Yeah, no, that would be interesting. I also feel like I have multiple dreams in one night typically, but
yeah,
I don't know if that counts. Like if your brain just considers it one dream, or if you actually like just narratively separated them after the fact. I don't know, but I typically mm-hmm. do feel like there are distinct. Like distinctly different dreams each night, but I don't know.
No, I would agree.
Be kind of fun. Yeah.
It's like in the last episode, the dream that I shared that was like the three parts could be three distinct dreams. I only shared them all together because they were very like connected and like the ghost girl came back at the end. So it made sense nice. Too, but I do yeah. definitely feel like I have a lot of separate, if not segmented dreams in one night.
Yeah, so. I would agree.
Yeah, but so that being said, the dream that I am going to share today is actually from like the beginning of last month. I had this on the 6th of September.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll just kind of tell you the story real quick and then give you a little bit of feedback for what I think might have been my real world causes. And then we'll go to there. So I was on a rafting trip with my girlfriend and her boss and Paul Rudd. And there were some others there, but I don't really remember their names. There was this other guy named Moon Man who I don't know anything else about him, but he'll come to be a little bit important later. So it was like a whitewater rafting trip and they were huge rapids, like class fours, class fives. There were logs strewn all through the water. So there were a lot of roots and there were a lot of shredders, which are like root systems that are underneath the water. So if you fall out of the raft, you'll like get shredded. And people would get thrown out fairly often, but they would get in without too much worry. They'd get in really quickly. And at one point, like the rapids stopped and it was just calm water. So, Madeline's my girlfriend, her boss's name is Scott. And he said, you know, we could jump out and play near the raft. It was going to be calm for a while. So we all got out and there were people like holding onto the side of the raft in the water. And they would pull it down, and so we took on some water. And Scott said, like, hey, let go. I gotta bail this. And then he repumped it, so it was, like, a completely full inflated raft. And then we all got back in. We kept going. We hit some more rapids. We go through those rapids into a calm part. And we pull the raft up on the shore. And after that, we went, like, to this beautiful stream that has, like, a waterfall. And we had to like wade across there was like the main river that had the rapids that we pulled off on. And then there was like this little offshoot of it that went around like a sandbar. And so we pulled the raft onto the sandbar and we waded across like the small offshoot. And over there was the waterfall. So as we were all like playing in the super cute, super beautiful waterfall, Paul Rudd was like on the sandbank, like, I refuse, my shoes will get wet. And it was like, you're like on a whitewater rafting trip. He had been thrown out several times, but he was just like, no, I won't do it. Like, not the right shoes. So we play in the waterfall for a while. It's like really picturesque. Like the sun's hitting just right. You know, those like really warm days where you can play in really cold water, but it just feels good. Like that was that's the sensation that we had. So we play in that. Then we get back into the raft and we keep going down and we hit some really bad rapids. And Moon Man was thrown out and just disappeared under the waves, just didn't come back up. And we had to keep going because they were like class five rapids, right? You can't like stay and play. Yeah, so we just went, kept going, and we finished the run, we deflated the raft, and we boarded, like, our travel bus. Apparently there were so many of us that we had, like, a bus, and we just, like, stored the raft deflated underneath it. And as I'm getting on the bus, it was, like, the movie moment, right, where, like, your hand's on the bar, your foot's on the first step, and I look to my left, back towards the river, and I see Moon Man on the river, like, walking across the top of the waves towards the sun, and I, like, call out to him, and he looks back at me, and he just kind of smiles, and then turns back towards the sun and vanishes, and I woke up at that point. So it was a very narrative and, like, a very good conclusion, but...
Yeah, very episodic, like it's setting up for part two or another episode.
Yeah, for real, Moon Man's return.
It's so funny to me that, like, Paul Rudd was being a diva about everything, like...
I know, he was just like... Because at first I was like, oh, cool, like, Paul Rudd's with us. Like, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, a celebrity. It was just like, if you and I were hanging out, and I'd be like, oh, cool, Austin's here, you know? And then, yeah, he was just like, I won't wade across the river. And it was like, you've been whitewater rafting for the last couple hours. Like, yeah. It was good.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me because, like, I've been listening to some different podcasts. And one of the things the guy was talking about, this was one of the psychology ones I listened to. And the guy was talking about how, and I think this applies to our dream world too. He says, there was like this experiment done where some kids were told to like toss a basketball around in a very like intricate pattern. And so they filmed them and they're tossing this basketball around. And like in the middle of everything going on, like this chaotic thing, there's like this dude in a, like a monkey suit, like walking through and like dancing around and stuff. And then he like leaves.
Oh yeah.
And like the audience kind of watching it can sort of pick it out easily. But then he asked, and I think they took like a survey at the end of it, like, how many people noticed the gorilla, and not many people like, or any like even saw him because they were too focused on like what they were doing.
Yeah. So it's like, so just to make sure I'm understanding, cause I think I've seen a video of this, like
they tell the audience, might be like, screwing it up.
They tell the audience like watch the basketball, right. And like count,
or I maybe think that's how many times it passed
or something. And then after that, like after the audience has watched it be passed around, then they ask about the gorilla. Right.
So, right. Yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's.
Yeah. I have right. seen that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a famous one. I kind of screwed it up, but that's the idea. Is like, you are so focused on one thing that you miss like this very obvious big thing that's going on. And I think that happens in the dream. It's like you didn't even ask yourself like, oh, why is famous actor Paul Rudd hanging out with me? It was more like, oh yeah, dude, me and Paul Rudd, like, but we're going on the raft, like. Like we're going whitewater, yeah. like that's the big thing, you know? And
it just kind of blew past him.
Yeah. It's just like, it's so interesting how our brains do that. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, if Paul Rudd ever listens to this, hit us up, come and guest star. And we would love to have you tell us about some of your dreams.
Yeah. Why you were such a sissy about the boots in Lincoln's
dream. Yeah, dude, come on. It's just water shoes. Get over it. We just start verbally abusing celebrities.
I've had dreams about like, not about, but like with celebrities in them as like characters a lot, actually. Just maybe I watch too much TV. I don't know, but.
Well, no, that's the thing is like, I've had a lot of dreams like that too. And normally they're not, I was going to say they're not insignificant, but it makes more sense to say normally they're like significant in the dream, right? Where I don't know if I've shared it, but like I've had dreams where like I'm looking for Obama the entire dream. You know, and so it's, I don't think I have shared that. We'll get to that in a future episode, guys. But like, normally if there's a celebrity involved, like they're important in some way, but it was only relevant because like he was there and that was it. So it's interesting, but yeah, I think it has something to do with what you were saying where like the focus was the rafting trip. But yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that definitely felt like it was driving everything forward, narratively as you were explaining it. Where would you have liked to see, like, if you had been asleep just a little bit longer, like, where would you have liked to have seen the dream gone?
I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't have wanted anything past the end. If I was asleep longer, I would have wanted, like, more time on the waterfall, because it was more like,
okay, yeah,
like a brief moment rather than, like, an actual dreamed memory. And I would have loved to have like more of that, but like where it ended with me like seeing Moon Man and like knowing that he was okay, whatever happened to him, like that was a really good place for the dream to end. And I feel like anything past that would have been like what, me boarding the bus and being like, guys, guess who I saw?
Yeah, so. No, that makes sense. Yeah, because it would need to be an entirely like new dream of similar length if it was going to tell more of the story, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man. That's so funny. Yeah. Moon Man.
Yeah, and that's like, I don't know, it's like set up like Paul Rudd was like there and like Moon Man was chilling. But like, I don't know, in my head, it would have made more sense for it to be like Paul Rudd instead of like this fictional guy named Moon Man. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't choose what my dreams do most of the time.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I'll have dreams a lot where things are like framed by other things. Like I'll be looking out a window and then I'm seeing like a battle take place, which I think is from like a movie or something. Or like I'll be in like one house, but then I look outside and the backyard is different. Like I'll be in my grandma's house, but then I look outside and it was like my house growing up. Like, mm-hmm. So there's some kind of like dissonance between like what's being framed or like outlined, and then as you zoom in closer, so like there's something different going on inside. Like that's a common theme throughout my dreams. Like I see that kind of stuff a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy, because then it's like you have the safe, I guess, like from your grandma's house, right? You're inside, it's like the safe structure of the house and the familiarity, but then what's different and like foreign to you is like separated from you by like a physical window.
Yeah, it's almost like I love the art that's like collages of pictures, like different things that clearly don't belong together, but like portrays some kind of meaning, you know, like just like different cutouts of different pictures like collided together. And I don't know, maybe that's where part of the stuff comes from. But there was something in your dream that kind of reminded me of that. It might have been the part, like the brief moment when you're on the waterfall, there was something you said that kind of reminded me of that. But
warm day with the cold water?
I think so. There's some kind of contrast. Yeah, I think that's just like the idea of like this sort of adventurous thing, but then being with like people who are concerned with such like menial things. I don't know. it's funny.
Yeah. No, it was, I don't know. I feel like I have a lot of either incredibly linear and like thought-provoking dreams, with like the ending with Moon Man and like, I don't know, like that feeling of like peace after tragedy. Or I have dreams that are just like so abstract and bonkers that even when I'm telling you, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
It also doesn't like do it justice to describe them in words. Like that's kind of what makes it interesting as a podcast, I think, is because like we're trying to use audio words to express something we typically like mostly just visually see. Like there are sounds in my dreams, like sometimes I'll hear like a bomb go off or some loud thing, like I know it's loud in the dream even though I'm not actually hearing anything, but like but typically they're like a visual sort of thing, and we're trying to like process it down to a, and like it's sort of basic units in words, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, it's like I think that's part of the fun challenge of doing the podcast as well, as like explaining a visual, and more than anything like a mental phenomenon, only with audio, like because we don't have like our bodies to like use body language, we're not animators, so we couldn't like bring it to life. It's just us speaking directly to you guys and saying like, this is what I experienced, and hoping that you guys have had like either similar dreams, or that we visualize it for you, or like describe it for you good enough that you can visualize it for yourself. Cause that would be my end goal, is to kind of make you guys feel like you're having the dreams too, you know?
Yeah. And no one dreams the same, I don't think, but everyone, like there's certain threads that are common to everyone probably, like, or certain, maybe not the exact same dream, but certain types of dreams. Like I've never had the dream that people talk about where you're like standing in front of a crowd naked or whatever. Like I've never had that one, but I have had a dream very often where like your teeth are falling out, and people talk about that one a lot. Like,
yeah,
like that's sort of a shared one. Or like I've had the dream where like there's a big test or a big project due, or like I've had the dream where there's like this entire class that I've ignored for a semester, and it's getting to the end and people are like, bro, where have you been? Like, the big thing is due tomorrow and like you haven't been here, like where's, you know, where are you gonna get your credit for the class? And I'm just like, wait, I like didn't attend this class. And they're like, yeah, like you were registered for it. And I'm like, what? Like I've had that one a lot. Like, oh, there's just different. But I think it's cool that we're like doing it in this audio form, because from what we know of history, like before there was even writing, like before there was written words, there was oral traditions and like oral language passed on, which I think is cool. So it's definitely like very ingrained in our heads and our society. So it's, yeah, it's kind of fun. It's like before you could write a book or show a movie, like you had to explain things, you know, orally with words, which is kind of
live, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sort of. So I think it's fun.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. We did say that we're going to keep this episode a little bit on the shorter side, and I think you need to get going probably sooner than I do, but
yeah, that's great.
Is there anything else about either of our dreams that you wanted to discuss before we wrap up, or do we feel pretty satiated?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. I'll just do my little music rec, and then we can wrap up. So
sweet. Well, yeah, in that case, Austin, what is your song recommendation for this week?
Yeah, so on the way into my test a couple weeks ago, I just had my phone on shuffle just sort of randomly and came across this song, which like I love. It's just I happened to it was like the last song that played before I walked into the testing center, so it was sort of in my head as I was like taking the test. It's called Cub by Rue Paines. If anyone doesn't know Rue Paines, they should check him out. He's got a very like soothing sort of acoustic sound, which is a lot of what I listen to. But yeah, I just want to read a few. So before I took the test at like 6 a.m. or something, my mom texted me and she's been very supportive and just said like, hey, we got a lot of people praying for you and like gunning for you to take this test and pass it. And we, you know, I feel like you're going to do great. And my mom's always been very supportive. That's just kind of the woman
your
she
mom's
is.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's great. And so in this song, it's called Cub, and there's a few lines that like, as I was listening to it, just made me think of my mom and like all she's done for me. So it just says, don't let them paint you gray. They're going to see you're somebody somewhere someday. Don't ever let them take your playful heart away. Oh, you're somebody nobody could replicate. Yeah, I already know there's only one of you, that the world is going to see another side of you. And though the tide's been rising since the pride of youth, oh, I know that we're going to see you laughing like you used to do from now on. And then he's like, in the chorus, he says, from now on, we're going to find a new song. It goes, I knew you as a cub and now you've grown into a lion. And, yeah, there's a bunch of other little like tiny parts of the song that I love. Like there's a line where he says, we don't see old smoke. We only see the new fire. I knew you as a cub and now you've grown into a lion. Like it's such a good song. And he's like, people can, at the end of the song, he's like, people can laugh at you if they like. He says, oh, they can laugh if they like, because this time, you know, you're right. You can feel the whisper growing inside. They can laugh if they like, but this time, you know, you're right. Like it's such a like supportive kind of song. And I love the line, like, I knew you as a cub and now you've grown into a lion. And it just made me think of my mom and like, yeah, how supportive she's been of me. And it was kind of just a perfect thing to like think about as I was going into the test. Like I sort of felt like before the week leading up to the test, I'd kind of been grumpy and like snapping at people and just like a lot of people invited me to hang out and do things. I'm like, no, like I've got this big thing I need to do. Like it's more important than you. And looking back after I took the test, I was like, I was kind of a jerk and I should have been nicer about it. And like, just cause I have this test doesn't mean I need to like rub it in everyone's face. And I don't know. And my mom just reminded me of like, hey, like you're going to do well. And like, whatever happens, like you're going to go back to who you are. And like, I don't know. It just made me feel like I shouldn't lose sight of that.
Awesome.
It's a good song, so go check it out.
That's Cub by Rue Paines. And I haven't heard it myself, but I'm going to listen to it as soon as we end the podcast. That sounds like a really,
for sure.
At least lyrically, I'm sold.
I should probably send it to my mom too. I don't think she's heard it, so.
That'd be sweet. Let me know how that goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you everybody for tuning in. And we got some really exciting things in the works coming up. So
yes,
thank you so much for your support, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Dreamcast with Lincoln Oliphant and Austin Weaver. To catch future episodes, subscribe to us on your favorite streaming platform, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or many others, where we upload a new episode every other Saturday. The Dreamcast. Dream awake.